Lisa J. Sekulow, a big night in Indiana.
Live from Washington, D.C., J. Sekulow Live.
It is crunch time on the campaign trail today. When was Indiana ever crucial? But this time it is, folks. Candidates are pinning their hopes on the Hoosier State as the frontrunners wind up, hoping for a knockout.
If we win Indiana, it's over, okay? If we win Indiana, most people think that they quit the race. And then we can focus on crooked Hillary. Please, let's focus on Hillary.
Carly terrifies Hillary Clinton.
In 16 separate polls, I beat Hillary in the fall. The reason why I win in the fall is because that's when people say, I really want to have somebody that knows how to land the plane.
We need to win 710 out of the remaining 1,083. That is 65% of the remaining pledged delegates. That is admittedly, and I do not deny it for a second, a tough road to climb, but it is not an impossible road to climb.
We cannot let Barack Obama's legacy fall into Donald Trump's hands.
This is about winning the votes of the Hoosier State, giving Indiana the opportunity to choose. And we're at a fork in the road. We're at a fundamental fork in the road. If Donald Trump is the nominee, Hillary Clinton wins. Hillary beats Donald Trump by double digits. And if Hillary wins, and wins in a landslide, that not only costs us the presidency, we lose the Senate, we may lose the House, we lose the Supreme Court for a generation.
I will beat Hillary Clinton, crooked Hillary. I will beat her so badly. So badly.
I think the only card she has is the woman's card.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. Obviously, a big night in Indiana tonight. We're going to be talking about that. But I also want to mention the fact that from Indiana, you go to California is the next big one. We'll go through the list in the next segment. There are other states in between. But California is the next big one. If Donald Trump wins tonight, Jordan, he can put it away completely. He may well have put it away tonight if he wins, but he puts it away in California if he carries it there.
Yeah, because he's probably going to be doing very well in West Virginia, and so you look at a state like that, and then again, even in Oregon, Washington State, New Mexico, but you look at California, where right now, out of the 172 delegates, it's a kind of winner-take-all with an asterisk by congressional district. He's at least going to get, if the polls are right, at least 109, probably 120. Same thing goes, probably wins every delegate in New Jersey that day, and then gets him to over 1237.
So for Ted Cruz, if he does not succeed tonight and decides to go forward, he's going to play for other states. Does is there any scenario where John Kasich gets out tonight? I don't think so. What do you think?
I don't see why. I mean, at this point, why he would or wouldn't. He's doing this for his reasons. But again, if Donald Trump carries out a big victory in Indiana tonight, John Kasich and Ted Cruz, both of them, this idea of open convention, and it's not going to be it's going to fade quickly. So what's your message? What's your point? Yeah. You have lost the race. The race is over.
And then we're talking about Indiana for most of this broadcast, but let me give you the Real Clear Politics average for California right now. Donald Trump up by 17.5. And what we need to understand is, and I think Jordan said it correctly, when you go from next phase, which will be after tonight in Indiana, to tomorrow, I think what Jordan said is absolutely correct. And that is, and there is no doubt about it, if Donald Trump has a big night, I think it's very tough for Ted Cruz and certainly for Kasich. I don't even see why he's in it to move forward. If he doesn't have a big night tonight, I think you're going to see a doubling down from the Cruz campaign, which I completely understand why you would do that. But a big night for Donald Trump probably means that this is decided. And I think that's what you'll be hearing from the media tonight, if that's the case. If it's not the case, obviously a lot of attention in these other states. We're going to talk more about those other states when we come back from the break. Let me encourage you to stay engaged with us on multiple levels. Obviously, you're listening to the radio broadcast or you're watching us on Facebook, Periscope, ACLJ.org, Apple TV, a number of ways you can get our weekly television broadcast. But let me also encourage you to check in with us on social media. Facebook, I've got a page. Jordan has a page. The ACLJ has a page. Also, follow us on Twitter. I have a Twitter feed. So does Jordan. Very important that you do that. So there's multiple ways for you to get information. But obviously, big night in Indiana. Really big night for Ted Cruz and for Donald Trump. The winner tonight could well determine the next Republican nominee for President of the United States. Back with more in just a few moments.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Obviously, it is a big day in Indiana. I think it's a big day for the GOP overall. We're going to get into this analysis. Jordan and I have been looking at this situation for over a week, looking at how the campaigns have maneuvered. Let's backtrack a little bit. You had Donald Trump coming out of last Tuesday with five wins. And Jordan, not just wins, but blowouts, really.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, you're talking about blowout victories way above 50%. The second and third place finishers were far behind. He got a clear majority of the delegates. Even in Pennsylvania, with most unbound delegates, the majority of those have already pledged to at least stick with Donald Trump through round one, which means if he gets to 1237, and he's right on that path right now, that he will have those delegates at the convention to get the nomination wrapped up. But tonight, Indiana, this is key for him, because if he pulls out a victory here, it is almost impossible for even Ted Cruz to make a case on why he would continue this political race, unless it was some desperate attempt to try to keep Trump under 1237. But there are paths for Donald Trump to lose tonight in Indiana and still get to that magic number. So this is not winner, will it make it or break it for Donald Trump. It's make it or break it for Ted Cruz.
So Ted Cruz has done a couple of things interesting. And I think one of the plays is a fascinating one. And that was the calling of a VP candidate. He selected Carly Fiorina, who many of us like. I like Carly Fiorina. She's very bright. Raises a series of questions, though. Normally you don't have a non-nominee selecting a VP. I will say Ronald Reagan did that in 1976. He didn't end up not getting the nomination. It would end up going to Gerald Ford. So this was an unusual move. The question is going to be, and I think this is what we're looking at right now, as this last week has played out, has the call for the VP, Carly Fiorina, made a significant difference? Because so you'll recall, everybody, and that's why I want to, we're looking back a week here, and we need to do that. It was just on Monday of last week that they announced, you know, this pact between Kasich and Senator Cruz, where Kasich wasn't going to campaign actively in Indiana and basically encouraging people to vote for Cruz, and then Cruz was not going to campaign in two states. That fell apart, Jordan, immediately. So I want people to understand that. That never really materialized, because we know for a fact that John Kasich was in Indiana raising money, and Kasich had initially said that that was going to be a very strong state for him coming so close to Ohio.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And so this idea that somehow things would materialize and we'd have this different kind of campaign. It's not really what we saw over the last week. We saw John Kasich in Indiana, fundraising in Indiana, hosting events in Indiana. He doesn't have the money to even be up on the air, but he's not telling people, he's not sending a message saying, just go and vote for Ted Cruz, even if you support me. Quite the opposite. So that whole cabal, if you will, fell apart within hours. And I think we're seeing now today, as people are voting in Indiana, that this is not going to be the key for Ted Cruz's victory. The key is whether or not he's able to turn out his grassroots machine, or does Donald Trump really finish this campaign out and roll up the nomination tonight?
Yeah, I want to get into that in the next segment of the broadcast, kind of how do you go forward? What does it look like going forward, assuming, you know, we'll look at a couple of scenarios, assuming Ted Cruz wins, assuming Donald Trump wins, how those delegates are broken up. But let's stay on this theme for a bit, because I think it's important. Indiana's voting today. Normally, this is not a big news item. It is going to be a very big news item today, because as Jordan said, the impact it will have. We've talked about the fact that the selection of Carly Fiorina, the PAC with John Kasich. We also know that Kasich has been talking with individual delegates in Indiana. So, Jordan, when we look back over this, here's what I'm seeing. I think these were both the Carly Fiorina select, although I think, look, she's very bright and I think very qualified to be a VP nominee. I think she'd been qualified to be president. She's a very smart woman. She's very, very bright, very articulate. But Ted Cruz was trying to, I think, is trying to change the news cycle. So the Kasich-Cruz PAC on Monday really didn't do that. Then this announcement, and he did get coverage on this. Did this move the cycle? And then the question is, before you get out to the West, to California, does it have an impact? And this is the thing I think we need to look at. Does this really have an impact today? I mean, we're going to find out tonight. But does it have that impact today?
What he's had is a second real professional surrogate to work Indiana. Someone who has been on this campaign trail before, speaking to voters, who had that moment of popularity, similar to Dr. Carson, really shot up in popularity with the grassroots, wasn't able to maintain that. But remember, Carly Fiorina was one of those candidates who moved from the second tier up to the first tier in debates based off her polling. So as people saw more of her, they liked it, but it was a very crowded field. She ultimately left the race after New Hampshire, but she's a proven as spokesperson, someone you can trust to be out there, and she's been working the state. So we will know tonight the benefit of making that announcement. I think it was clearly done to try and shift some of the news away from how Donald Trump is right on the cusp of finishing this race and getting enough delegates to be on the path. Obviously, he still has to win out in California and win those June states. But if he takes Indiana tonight, Donald Trump is going to be the GOP nominee. If Ted Cruz wins tonight, we still have that potential.
I want to get into that. I want to get into that in the next segment. I want to really look at the states that are coming up. Let's get the full list of those. We'll go over that with everybody. I want to stay, though, on tonight, because I think this is important. Indiana is normally not a significant primary for determining who the Republican or Democratic nominee is for president. But I think you've got two scenarios developing right now. On the Democratic side, it seems very clear after last week's announcement that Bernie Sanders has let go a lot of his field staff. My sense is the campaign there is done. We also know, of course, that Indiana Governor Mike Pence has endorsed Ted Cruz. Does that play into anything tonight? We will see what kind of he's a well-known guy like I like Governor Pence. Do you think that has much of an impact, that Governor Pence on Friday endorsed Ted Cruz?
Well, I think that what we know is that because it was a race that was closing as of today, that anything could help. And so usually these endorsements in the race have not swayed people to where it's going
to
increase you by,
look at South Carolina.
Yeah, by like 5 or 10 points. At the same time, Indiana is a bit different. It's a red state, but it's not the traditional red state that we think of, but it is the only real friendly state left on the calendar for someone like Ted Cruz. So he's had to put everything into this, announcing his potential VP pick, putting Carly Fiorina on the road, and Donald Trump has been spending time there as well. And so, again, I think they both know the significance. For Donald Trump, it's not make it or break it. It's if I win this, I have a much easier path forward, basically guaranteed. And for Ted Cruz, it's if I don't win this, I'm going to be maybe in third place in these states there upcoming.
Yeah, let's take a look at this. As I said, next segment I'm going to get into where it plays out from here. But let's take a look at it. You've been involved in three presidential campaigns. So let's go inside the Trump campaign, and then let's go inside the Cruz campaign. So inside the Trump campaign, what are they thinking today, Tuesday, Indiana? What are they looking at?
We put everything we can to win this tonight. I mean, so the whole focus of this last week has been Indiana, not looking forward, not moving forward, because they know the significance that if Donald Trump wins, even by a small margin, carries the state of Indiana, that he has basically got enough delegates as moving forward based on the electoral map in the 10 remaining states, that he will be the GOP nominee. He will be able to reach that 1237 number and put to rest all of the talk about an open or brokered convention. So that's why Indiana is so important. If he lost Indiana.
Well, let's before we go to lost Indiana, I want to focus on something you said, because I think it's very important, folks. So they are solely focused right now. I mean, obviously, just did events last week in California. So the campaign has multi hats. You have to. But Indiana becomes this pivotal time for them. Let's go inside the Cruz campaign for a moment, because I think this is also, does a loss for Ted Cruz tonight mean it's over, or does he keep fighting? I tend to think he keeps fighting, but it's going to be very difficult.
He may keep fighting, but in actuality, it would be over. And this is because Donald Trump's team, the reason why he's moving around the country is that they don't have to have this win as bad as Ted Cruz. But if they get it, they know that it's basically they're on that path to 1237 in an easier way. For Ted Cruz, it's about survival. It's about still making the case that Donald Trump won't get to 1237. If he does not win in Indiana, and you look at that upcoming calendar, these are not great Ted Cruz-friendly states. I mean, maybe Nebraska.
We'll talk, I want to talk about those again. Let's talk about those next segment. But for Ted Cruz right now, they're thinking internally, whatever they're saying publicly, Indiana is a must-win. And some of their people have said that.
Yeah, exactly. He's had some surrogates say it very clearly that this is a must-win for Ted.
And so, that email we brought out last week certainly indicated that.
Yeah, so again, a loss there, would. I think we'd see that campaign question whether or not it would move forward and still fight Donald Trump, and we could talk about why, and I think it really goes to the states that are left in this.
All right, so that's what we're going to do in the next segment of the broadcast, folks. You want to stay tuned for that. We're going to take a look at where it goes forward. Again, here's our analysis. Let me give you the bottom line. Our view is right now that if Donald Trump wins Indiana tonight, this is very big for him, because it makes a clear path to 1237. It is a momentum factor. We haven't even talked about the momentum factor here. And that will become a big deal, because the momentum factor is very, very significant. But also, let me say this, that even if you go past that one step, and I think this is the one step, for Ted Cruz, as Jordan said, this is equally as significant, because a loss tonight would be not, he doesn't, I don't know how you recover from it. I mean, very, very tough. Now, is there a way? Yeah, you still have 600 delegates almost, maybe, but it makes it very, very tough. All right, we're going to give you more analysis. We're going to look ahead. What's ahead in this race? How is that playing out? So we'll do that when we come back from the break. You're going to want to stay tuned. We're going to take more comments as well. But again, folks, Indiana, who would have thought would play this kind of role tonight? Does Ted Cruz pull out a surprise win? And what does that do to the race? We'll talk about that when we come back in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today.
The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
We're taking a big look. Today is a special day, and it is Indiana. But that's just today. So let's start with the beginning. Ted Cruz wins Indiana tonight. That becomes significant. I think that fuels him to go into the remaining states. So I think he then plays the rest of the country. No path to 1237, but Ted Cruz's strategy is to get this on the second round of balloting at the convention. He's playing that strategy. Donald Trump's strategy is to win this thing now, 1237, no contested convention. That's the strategy. So you got both campaigns going for the same prize, but two completely different methods to get there. Now, Indiana's tonight. Then from Indiana next week, we have Nebraska and West Virginia. On the 17th, we have Oregon. On the 24th, we have Washington. And then on June 7th, another Super Tuesday, you've got California, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota. So let's start with the obvious, Jordan, and we're kind of retracking what we said. If Ted Cruz does not win tonight in Indiana, can he move forward?
I mean, you can move forward. He could try to make a case in Nebraska and West Virginia. Some of the polling I've seen out of there, though, in a place like West Virginia has Donald Trump way ahead. It wasn't in this race. It was Ted Cruz versus Kasich at this point. West Virginia, Nebraska, these would be states that were very friendly to him. So it's not that he wouldn't do well there, but there's winner take all. In West Virginia, it's direct election. And so I expect that this is going to be much more difficult for the Cruz team, with or without the Indiana win.
What kind of internal pressure or external pressure will we put on the campaign? This is something you got to look at, folks. We're trying to kind of take you behind the politics here to give you a real inside the campaign pressure that's going to be. If Ted Cruz doesn't win tonight, what kind of pressure does the RNC start doing it? Because I'm not convinced that they love Ted Cruz either. I mean, they're both outside candidates. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Or is the money? Because that's one of the things you got to worry about here. You're getting into states that become very expensive. California, yeah. New Jersey, these are expensive states to run in.
So it's how much does Ted Cruz, which we don't have those reports, how much does he have left after Indiana, which will be very key. So tomorrow, does the campaign release some kind of statement about if they're moving forward, about their financial stability? Now, if he gets a win, he'll get a windfall of contributions. But if he does not, I think that we have to figure out then this campaign had to have spent a lot of its resources in Indiana. So it would have to figure out a way to refundraise. Ted Cruz has been good at doing that. Yeah. But I don't think there's going to be that outside pressure, Dad. I don't think, because of what you said, that these are both outside candidates.
Right.
That the RNC regulars, the kind of Republican,
right.
People use the term establishment. I don't love it, but if you want to call it that, fine. Aren't that comfortable with. So I'm not sure they're going to say, oh, Ted Cruz, get out of the way for Donald Trump. That's why I think Kasich is still not getting that kind of pressure.
Yeah, which we haven't mentioned John Kasich, but he's not going to do well in Indiana, obviously. He's in right now. His theory is what? His theory is Ted Cruz doesn't beat him on the second ballot. How could that be?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost impossible to understand how John Kasich makes a case that he could be president. Now, what he thinks is that maybe the rule will be rewritten after round one or two if we get to that kind of convention scenario, yeah, where as long as you ran for president and won a state, which he did Ohio, then you can be considered. He may be doing this just for name ID to keep his name out there. But again, it's a campaign that's been always continuously just running on fumes, only picked up attention really in the past few weeks because the race dropped to just three. I think, again, we never got to see a head-to-head in this contest, a true head-to-head in this contest, and that didn't even happen in Indiana. Now, Indiana's interesting tonight. The way it breaks down...
Yeah, I want to give everybody... Let's do this. We're going to give you now how the delegate breakdown is tonight, because this is a little bit more complex than others. We've got it. Jordan's got an analysis of this. So I want everybody... So this is how Indiana plays out tonight. You can have a winner, but then there's the question of delegates, and this is all about the delegates.
So there's 57 delegates at stake, and it's a winner-take-all with an asterisk. So if you're the state winner, you get 27 of those delegates automatically. So if you win by 50 plus one... votes, then you get 27 delegates automatically. Then the rest is winner take all by congressional district. There's nine districts there, so it's three delegates per district. So if you did very well, basically it's almost you've taken all of the delegates. But there you could see where even if it's a close race that a Donald Trump could get the majority, clear majority, if he won. But Ted Cruz did well enough in a few congressional districts to get some delegates. And then there's three RNC delegates that are more, they are not bound. So really you're talking about the 27 for the state winner,
yep,
and then the 27 available for the winner take all in the congressional district level. So by congressional district.
So the interesting analysis here is a winner take all asterisk, as Jordan said, is correct. But the polling data has not been very consistent here because they normally don't poll. I mean, here's the question. Likely, is it, I mean, based on last week's performance, Donald Trump was hitting 60% on average. I mean, if you were wagering tonight, do you think Donald Trump, I mean, Than Bennett's out of the country, but he said he thought his initial read when he left on Friday was Trump plus 8 tonight.
Yeah, I haven't felt any significant change in the last few days where I would say that something has happened that Donald Trump has lost his lead there. I think you'd have to be on the ground in Indiana, which is a big state,
yep,
to figure out if there's enough grassroots energy from Ted Cruz and his campaign. They're very good at doing this, but yep, it has not always guaranteed them victories in red states. South Carolina, I think, being a great example, yep, of that, how they had this unbelievable operation, but it wasn't able to get the job done. Now, it was in Iowa, so again, you can kind of say,
yep,
that's a little bit harder to see on TV and to pick up in polling is, do the Cruz people understand, do Republicans understand, if they don't want Donald Trump, then they do have to rally behind Ted Cruz. I think that message is clear.
Yeah, and I think the no Trump movement or never Trump movement, I don't think has caught, yeah, much fire. What is interesting is that Trump initially was underperforming his polls in the beginning. And then over the last, I'd say, two major events, and these have been two major events, he has significantly overperformed his polls, sometimes by 15 or 20%. So, I mean, obviously, a huge night in Indiana tonight. We're going to obviously have a live report tomorrow giving you an analysis on this. Stay with us on Facebook and Twitter as well. We'll keep you posted during the afternoon and during the evening as well. Like our Facebook pages. I've got a page. Jordan has a page. The ACLJ has a page. Like Jordan's Twitter. Follow my Twitter as well. Follow our Twitter feeds. We will keep you updated on this because I think at the end of the day, what could happen here could be very, very significant. My gut feeling is if Ted Cruz does not win tonight, I am still not convinced, Jordan, he pulls out, but I think his path forward, even in that second tier, second ballot initiative, is pretty much done. He may not formally pull out, but it's yeah, pretty much over.
And it'll be pretty much over because based off the current polling of the upcoming remaining 10 states, they're all very favorable to Donald Trump, and Ted Cruz may not even be the second choice for voters in those states. And so because of that, again, Donald Trump, if he is able to win tonight in Indiana, is on path to bypass that open convention scenario and secure this nomination before going into Cleveland in July.
All right, we've got a lot more ahead on the broadcast, folks, another 30 minutes. If you're not getting the full hour of the broadcast, and many of you do now, we've got a lot of stations we've added to the network. Sirius XM, of course, a number of stations around the country, ACLJ.org or Facebook or Periscope, multiple ways for you to continue to get the broadcast. ACLJ.org, we're always streaming it, so you can always get it there. That's going to do it for this segment of the broadcast. Come back, we want to talk to you with some other issues, but we're giving you the real in-depth analysis. We spent the time on Indiana today, a little bit of mention in California in the beginning, because tonight is a really big night for the Republican Party and for Donald Trump and also for Ted Cruz. We will be back with more in just moments.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Obviously, a big night tonight in Indiana, and we're going to be joined in the next main, by the way, by a good friend of ours, Sam Rodriguez. He has written a brand new book. We're going to talk about the book. We're also talking about his work within the Hispanic community, how that plays into this election. But I want Jordan and I to take a moment here and talk about what is at stake tonight. We've touched on it, obviously, in different points, but I want to reset the broadcast. We've got a lot of new stations coming on board. Look, first, we don't endorse candidates here. We just kind of lay it out for you the way we see it. We call it as we see it. I think going into this, it is very clear to me that there is a momentum issue here. And the momentum is with Donald Trump. Now, if you're for Ted Cruz, what that means is tonight he has to break that momentum in the vote. He has to have a win. It doesn't have to be, by the way, a decisive win. It has to be one in the win column. It's like when I do a Supreme Court case, I often say this. Look, at the end of the day, I don't have to get all nine. I've got to get five. So I think this is a decisive night. If Donald Trump doesn't go forward with a victory tonight, we're going to talk about how that plays into the rest of these upcoming fights, and there's 10 of them to go. I mean, this isn't over. But a loss for Ted Cruz tonight, I think, and I think Ted Cruz people have said this, becomes pretty critical. Now, what he'll do or not do, we'll analyze that in a bit. But, Jordan, let's talk about the beginning of this segment of the broadcast here. What's really at bottom at stake here? I mean, John Kasich to me is not even a factor in this.
No, what's at stake is 57 delegates in Indiana, and it's a winner-take-all with an asterisk. That's an asterisk that three of those delegates are RNC, so they're not bound. Some are done, 27 are done as whoever wins a state, you get 27, and then you can win three for each of the nine congressional districts, so another 27. So the winner, the way they predict is the winner, you know, if you win the state, you've won a lot of the congressional districts, maybe not all, but you could get somewhere around 45 delegates based on the current polls. That's what the winner will take home. Even a winner who wins slim, you know, it could be a slim victory, a 51% of the vote kind of victory, or 49, 48, and then you got, you know, whatever Kasich and however that turns out. But what I'm trying to say is that someone is going to get the lion's share of those delegates. And if Donald Trump receives them, if he gets 45 of the 57 delegates, he is on a clear path to locking in the nomination itself, to the full 1237, no open convention. If he does not, it does not mean that he cannot get to 1237 before the convention. He still has a path. It makes it much more difficult. It keeps Ted Cruz's campaign alive to fight on in the upcoming states.
Let me say this also, folks. Here's what you got. This is not unusual. I mean, it's unusual it's gone this late. But this is politics. I want people to understand this. People say, well, how could Cruz and Trump ever get together, or Kasich or these others? Look, we've said this before in this broadcast. We've said it many times. Politics is a full contact sport. I mean, this is mini versions of Supreme Court cases. I mean, that's kind of what this is. And the performance tonight, this is the jury verdict coming back. Here's how I want you to analyze it. If you're at Ted Cruz's campaign, tonight is a big jury verdict. And that is this jury going to allow you to move forward with a real chance, or is this jury said guilty, not going forward? And look, you could say a lot of things about Trump. You could say a lot of things about Cruz. You could say a few things about John Kasich. But let me say this. You got two viable candidates right now, one with a more programmed approach to this whole delegate process, and that's clearly been Ted Cruz. You've got another candidate who is the leader right now in this race by a lot. And he has run what I would call more of a not just grassroots kind of approach, but a more populist approach. Not getting into the who's conservative, who's not conservative. I'm just telling you about approach. That approach has been successful for Donald Trump. Tonight is a jury verdict. Tomorrow we will have the results of that jury verdict. And that verdict may well determine tonight who the next Republican nominee for president of the United States is actually going to be. I really believe that Indiana tonight plays that big of a role. And that means that big of a role for Indiana, that big of a role for the Republican Party, that big of a role for the next presidential election. That is not to say, by the way, to take anything away from the fact that Hillary Clinton, at the end of the day, in our view, in my view, is the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party. We're going to do some more analysis of the details of this a little bit later in the broadcast. Coming up, our friend Sammy Rodriguez has got a lot to talk about and his prediction about the aspect of who wins tonight. Back with more in a moment.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Joining us right now is the author of a brand new book called Be Light. He has also been described, he's a good friend of ours, Samuel Rodriguez, he has been described by Fox News and CNN as America's most influential Latino evangelical leader. And of course, Sam, you got to start talking politics because we're on the cusp here. What's your assessment of where things are?
Surreal. The word is surreal. I'm a Trekkie. So right now I think we are like in a parallel universe and there's a rift in the space-time continuum. All kidding aside, it's interesting indeed. I think we're about to see some developments. Of course, Indiana will be the deal breaker as it pertains to the campaigns that are right now on the GOP side. And then we're going to look at probably a brokered convention, unless Indiana really turns towards Trump, and then he'll have enough delegates, and then with California, of course, being the clincher, and then that story will be told. So it's an interesting election indeed. At the end of the day, I have my own personal prediction. I don't know if it's appropriate to lay it out here.
Oh, no, we certainly will. Let's lead up to it. Let's not give him the prediction right here in the beginning. Let's let him think for a few minutes. Jordan, go ahead. I know you had a particular question you wanted to ask Sam.
Well, that's right. I mean, Reverend Rodriguez is the president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. I think when we talk about the general election especially, the Hispanic vote has played and will play a key role. And it's been a reason why Republicans have had a tough time the last couple of election cycles. If you see how President George W. Bush was able to do amongst the Hispanic voters in 2000, 2004, and then a kind of a downfall since then. This election, and Sam, you are running an organization, that National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, that has over 40,000 membership churches. These are Hispanic evangelical churches in the United States. That's not to talk about the international spread of the organization. But you also had some words about Donald Trump saying he's not a racist, but that kind of language. I mean, I can't imagine that really the whole tone of where most of the Republican Party is at this point is making it easy for Hispanic Republicans to get excited necessarily.
Right. No, indeed. This is the Latino vote, the Hispanic community, this Hispanic constituency, the demographic, will very well serve to redeem every single person who adheres to an ideology of the following. If you believe in faith, if you believe in family, if you believe in religious liberty and limited government, that's the DNA of the Latino community. Do your due diligence as it pertains to research and analysis. So this would be a natural constituency for the Republican conservative movement. And I know personally, I used to work with Karl Rove back in 2004, and I used to work with the Bush White House, and we were looking at strategies for the 2008 election until immigration reform or the issue of immigration emerged. 44% of all Latinos, 44%, supported George W. Bush. Close to half. Matter of fact, Carl Rove and I sat down and we predicted and projected that over 50% of Latinos would be supporting the Republican cause for years and decades to come, at least at a bare minimum. And then the immigration rhetoric came along, not the policy. Look, I am opposed to illegal immigration. I don't want anyone coming into my country illegally. We are a sovereign nation. People need to come here legally. And neither am I in favor of amnesty. But I'm just opposed to the demagoguery and the rhetoric, the hyperbolic rhetoric that really seems like the conservative movement is anti-Latino. Now, they can't be anti-Latino. There's a Ted Cruz and a Marco Rubio, for crying out loud. So they can't be anti-Latino, even that's made evident through some of the presidential contenders that were there and one that is still there. But again, we have to reconcile the rhetoric with the policy as expeditiously as possible, or we're going to push the Latino community in the hands of an ideology that doesn't even support the values of the Latino community.
So let me ask you this. You know, Sam, you mentioned this, and I worked with you some. Of course, I was working on more on the judicial appointments, but you and I worked together a bit on the immigration reform. And people tend to forget that President Bush had a comprehensive immigration reform proposal ready to go, and it was Harry Reid and the Democrats that blocked it.
True story. You and I were involved. I was involved. I was advising back then the White House on the issue. And true story. And his reform package was not amnesty. It was very comprehensive, and it should have passed, and it was the Democrats who said no.
Right. I always want to remind people of that because it's part of what's going on here. Sam's got a brand new book out called Be Light, Shining God's Beauty, Truth, and Hope in a Darkened World. Tell us a little bit about it, Sam.
We live in dark times. I mean, arguably some of the darkest hours of all. I mean, look around us. This is darkness on steroids. So what do? Do we complain about the darkness? Do we whine? Do we critique? Do we write op-ed pieces about the darkness? Or should we rather allocate that energy in turning on the light? This book is a prescription, literally an antidote, a framework on how to be light, how to turn on the light. It is biblically based from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." Here's my issue, Jordan and Jay. I do believe right now our problem is that we are hiding the light. We're hiding it under comfortable either Christianity or a comfort zone, a narcissistic, selfie sort of worldview. We're hiding it under complacency. And today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. We are what we tolerate. There is no such thing as comfortable Christianity. And let me speak to my evangelical brothers and sisters. While we are waiting for Jesus to come down, Jesus is waiting for his church to stand up. So really, this is our hour to be light, because every single time light stands next to darkness, light always wins.
And that book is available now, Be Light, Shining God's Beauty, Truth, and Hope into a Darkened World. Sam, let me ask you this. Again, in the book's important, and as a leader who with the multifaceted in the roles you've played as a leader of this large organization with over 40,000 member churches, and also the political work that you do and talking about the issues, you don't shy away from it. If Donald Trump wins Indiana tonight and goes on to take the Republican nomination, is there a way for him to maybe not meet the Bush numbers of 2004, but a way for him to still appeal to Hispanic and Latino voters?
Wow. Never, you're right. Never the Bush numbers. And the Romney number was 27%, by the way.
By 20 points.
So what we're looking at, is it a steep hill to climb? Indeed. Is there any redemptive sort of light at the end of the proverbial tunnel? Yes. It would require Donald Trump to do the following. Ladies and gentlemen, at the beginning of my campaign, I engaged in some hyperbole. You know me. It's just what I do. And I engage in hyperbole that does not reflect what I truly believe in. I think Latinos in America have enriched our nation. They have these values of God, family, and hard work. These are the values of our founding fathers. Is God, family, and hard work, the Calvinistic work ethic. Indeed. So Latinos have enriched America, without a doubt. And I am not in favor of amnesty. I still want Mexico to build that wall, for crying out loud. But I want Latinos to know that you are the future of the conservative movement. You're the future of America, indeed. So I need your vote. The values that I'm advancing are your values. So I apologize for some of the silly stuff that came out of my mouth. the majority of immigrants that did come in illegally, and I don't want them coming in illegally. I want you to go back and come back legally, or we need to find a way to integrate you without you going back. We have to find that solution somehow after we vet you out. But my answer to you is this: you will make America great. America will be great again because Latinos will help America be great again. Thank you so much. I am Donald J. Trump. Vote for me.
So that you could serve as the special consultant.
I kid you not, man. But if he doesn't do that, it's never going to happen.
All right. I want to follow up on that. So immigration. Look, I'm the grandson of an immigrant. My grandfather came from Russia through Ellis Island, and I'm with you. I think we need immigration reform. I've said that on air. I don't apologize for that, but I think we need border security, and I think it's got to be done legally. My grandfather waited in line, like you have to do, learned to speak English, became an American citizen. We're a nation of immigrants. You bring up a really important point. We only got about a minute to go here. We talked about the immigration issue. How do you think things play out tonight?
Trump ends up with enough delegates with the California add-on, enough of Indiana percentage-wise, where with California, he will be the nominee. It will be Trump versus Hillary at the end of the day.
There you have it. Sammy Rodriguez gives his prediction on where it's going to go. Jordan, is that kind of where your head is right now?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, that if Donald Trump has a victory in Indiana, as Sam has said, and this, again, coming from a lot of different voices and people have been involved in a lot of different campaigns, that he's on that path to 1237, just like Hillary Clinton's on the path to her nomination, and all the talk about an open convention would be over. So we'll have to wait on the people should vote today, and we'll have to wait on that. But then I think, Sam, as we're already talking about, and again, the new book is called Be Light, Shining God's Beauty, Truth, and Hope into a Darkened World. That's available today from Sam Rodriguez. But that ultimately, it'll be about engaging these communities in the general election and maybe putting aside some of the rhetoric of the primary season.
I think that's right. Hey, Sam, thanks for being on with us. Again, the book, as Jordan said, is called Be Light. It's available wherever books are sold. We don't do a lot of author interviews on this broadcast, but we're glad to have Sam Rodriguez with us, a good friend, and we appreciate your great work, Sam. Thanks.
You guys are amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, folks, we're going to be back with more in just a moment. You're going to want to stay tuned. We're going to give you some additional analysis, but you got the prediction there from Sam Rodriguez. We'll see what happens tonight. And we'll certainly be going live tomorrow as well to let you know what's going to happen and how this impacts the rest of the election. In fact, we're going to talk about what does it mean if there is a Trump victory tonight and a Cruz defeat? And what does it mean if there's a Cruz win and a Trump defeat? Back with more when we come back from break in just moments.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
is the last segment of the broadcast, and those of you listening in Indiana, you're voting. The verdict will come in tonight. We'll certainly be able to talk about that verdict tomorrow. Let me tell you what's ahead. After Indiana, it's Nebraska, West Virginia, Oregon, Washington State. Then on Tuesday, June 7th, it's basically another Super Tuesday, California. That's a big one. That's a winner-take-all close primary with an asterisk. Jordan will explain that. Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota. Now let's get down to the reality of where it is. You heard what Sammy Rodriguez says? He thinks tonight is going to be Donald Trump. Fan Bennett, who is traveling right now this week, sent an email to us saying he thinks it's Trump plus 8. Jordan, you kind of hinted at it. Where do you see it?
Yeah, I think that I'm not sure that Ted Cruz is going to be able to take over Donald Trump, overtake Donald Trump in Indiana. That, you know, he's certainly tried. He's kind of thrown it all out there, announcing his VP pick early, Carly Fiorina. So he's had a second surrogate, a very professional surrogate out there on the campaign trail in Indiana. But let's not take away from Donald Trump. You know, he got the endorsement of one of Indiana's greats and beloved, Bobby Knight, the coach of the Indiana basketball team and the college basketball team, Indiana University. And so, again,
and I need to say also Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz, received the endorsement of Governor Mike Pence from Indiana as well. So two pretty big endorsements for Indiana.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For each. And so, and then with the Fiorina announcement, the Trump coming off 5 victories, we will see. Again, we know Ted Cruz has a very good grassroots machine, but it is much tougher to get those machines into full action when it's the writing starts looking like it's on the wall. It's not like if he wins Indiana tonight, he's guaranteed the nomination. All he has done is really pushed it to where Donald Trump has to work that much harder to get to 1237. It does not make it impossible for Donald Trump to get the nomination before the convention without winning tonight. So he does not have to win Indiana tonight. But if he does, and the polls are correct in the other upcoming states, he is right on path. I mean, he looks at West Virginia, where he's going to win 2/3 of the delegates. In Oregon, at least half the delegates. In Washington State, again, you get 16 of the 44 delegates, 10 of the 24 in New Mexico, the majority in California, 2/3 of those, and all 51 in New Jersey, which is pure winner take all. And Donald Trump is above 1237.
So what I'm saying, folks, if I'm looking at this as I do through the law lens of being a lawyer, I'm looking at the evidence. I think tonight what's happened the last few days is the closing arguments. That's what's taken place over the weekend, yesterday, and a little bit today. The closing arguments have been made. The case now goes to the jury. That jury, I think, really determines whether Ted Cruz is viable going forward after tonight. If Senator Cruz wins tonight, I think that's a win that is significant. Not necessarily decisive. Doesn't mean that Donald Trump is not going to be the nominee, but it keeps this issue engaged. If he does not, my view is, if Ted Cruz does not win tonight, again, it doesn't have to be by some large margin, but if he does not win tonight, I think it's very difficult to see a path forward. Now, Jordan, do you think Senator Cruz would pull out? I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, again, it's not a pure winner take all. So we'll see how the delegates break down. And for instance, over the last couple of days, we find out that even Donald Trump won Virginia. The delegates are actually going towards Ted Cruz. And so that's another one of those states before Donald Trump put in a serious delegate operation where he was still carrying, you know, big margins of victory, but not getting that victory turned into actual delegates. Ted Cruz did. So, again, you have to look at exactly how big of a win is it for Donald Trump? But it's not all based off if you won the state. It's did you win in all the congressional districts? If you do that, then you're coming away with all but three, because three are unbound delegates in Indiana, RNC delegates at that level. And so if Donald Trump wins, he is on the path to nomination. If he does not, there is a way for Ted Cruz and John Kasich, Ted Cruz leading that charge, to make it more likely that we have a convention that is open, but that Donald Trump is right on the cusp of 1237. And there is a way that Donald Trump loses Indiana and still gets to over 1237 before the convention.
So the fact of the matter is, folks, this is, I would say, Jordan, it's fair to say, and no one would have ever thought this going into this, but Indiana may well be, I mean, Ted Cruz said it in an email last week, the determining factor for the next Republican nominee for president of the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and listen, you could, if you saw there are some poll, there's one kind of outlying poll showing Ted Cruz now a big lead in Indiana.
Indiana, yeah.
if that were to be the case, if that were to be true, that tonight some of those polls that showed Ted Cruz, and now they're kind of outliers, but if some of those polls were accurate and Ted Cruz came away with a pretty big victory and got the lion's share of those delegates, then yeah, race on. The race continues on. It is not clear that Donald Trump will get to 1237 if Ted Cruz comes away with a big win. It doesn't mean it's impossible for him, though. It hasn't stopped him. He would be the only remaining candidate that could get to the full 1237, and he would remain that candidate after tonight.
The other thing to be looking into this factor, and I think you've got to look at all this. The polls are wonderful, but you know what? After tonight, the polls of what happened in Indiana are going to be meaningless. It's going to be what happens. So there's a momentum factor, and then there's a money factor that's going to. And I say the money factor because coming out of this, a loss in Indiana for Ted Cruz, I think, impacts fundraising. It just does. That's just the nature of the political machines. That's the nature of what it is to run a campaign. And then you start moving to states like California, where you're talking expensive markets and a big state with a lot of expensive markets. That's number one. Number two, and I think this is equally important, is the fact that Ted Cruz needs something to break the momentum of Donald Trump. So a win tonight could break some of that momentum. Doesn't mean it will be the, again, we're not endorsing either one. We're just telling you what it means. A momentum shift here for Cruz becomes important, Jordan.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, if he gets a victory, he needs momentum in states that he should be able to do okay in some of these states. They're not all bad for Ted Cruz. I mean, you look at a Nebraska, a West Virginia, but so far what we've seen is, especially like in West Virginia, Donald Trump with big leads. Then you get into the real West Coast, Oregon and Washington. Those could be tough for a Ted Cruz type candidate. And then, of course, June 7th. California, where Donald Trump's been polling very good, Montana, New Jersey, which he's predicted to take all 51 delegates there, New Mexico and South Dakota. So it would be about getting enough momentum to make a few of those close enough that Donald Trump doesn't get to 1237. I mean, that's the bare knuckle truth about it.
All right, folks, that is going to do it for the broadcast today. Obviously, a big, big night tonight. We'll be sending out some information on, of course, Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. You know, by the way, like our Facebook pages. I have a page. Jordan has a page. The ACLJ has a page. Great way to stay engaged with us. Also, download the podcast. If you can't get the broadcast, you can always get it on podcast. And as you know, we're streaming it on multiple platforms now, so there's multiple ways to engage with the ACLJ. But you should be getting our newsletters and our updates as well. Let's go over to ACLJ.org. You can fill out the form. It takes literally a couple of seconds, and you'll be getting our updates. And on Twitter, of course, we're sending out tweets during the day and keeps you posted there. And Facebook, very active on Facebook. In fact, between both mine, Jordan's, and the ACLJ's, over 5 million people engage with us on Facebook alone. So that's a great way to stay engaged. Obviously, there's a lot at stake for whichever candidate you're leaning for. I do think, and let me just close with this and get Jordan's comment. I believe the Democratic race for the presidency of the United States for the nomination is over, that it is Hillary Clinton as the nominee.
Yeah, I'd say so, too. And Bernie Sanders has been dumping staff and not expanding. And as we saw, he did not really know. He knew how to put on the rallies. He knew how to even win a lot of states. But he didn't have that delegate team, that super delegate work that Clinton spent years building. And ultimately, as long as those super delegates stick with Hillary Clinton, she's on the path to nomination, clearly.
No doubt about it. All right, folks, big night tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow with our analysis. Talk to you then.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.